This is Will's Band of the Week for August 18th, 2019. Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett live in studio.
Hello.
And Craig from the Ipswich Bureau.
Here I am, again.
We're recording at about a little after 5 p.m. in Madison, which means a little after 11 p.m. in Ipswich. So Barrett and I have been speculating that Craig just staggered home from the bar. So that'll be up for the listeners to decide whether that's accurate or not, right?
Yeah. If they get through to the end, they should submit. Oh, well, they could even get to the end of the podcast. Just submit a guess for how many pints of beer have been consumed.
He sounds pretty.
And then there'll be a prize. What could the prize be? We'll think of something.
Yeah.
Don't you think he sounds pretty composed so far?
Well, he's either a very good faker or maybe he's actually not drunk.
That's possible too.
How many pints, people?
It's come possible.
On. We want these guesses coming in. Twitter.
Careful right. Listener will, try to pick out the sound of opening bottles and cans from the Ipswich Bureau. Kind of see. Maybe he's not going to have anything. I don't know.
So, any update from the smokehouse?
Oh dear. Well, no, nothing. No new announcements. They're under refurbishments.
Do we have absolutely no live reports this week? I don't have any.
Well, I don't.
This is what they said. They said, sorry, we've been quiet. We're painting and decorating. So I can't wait to go back and see.
Oh, really?
Didn't they just open recently and they're already remodeling?
Well, I found out about them recently, but maybe they were open for some time.
Okay.
My finger is on the pulse. I don't want you to think that there could possibly be anything here that I don't know about. But
well, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
I think they were open for a while before I knew of their existence.
How about the Ipswich Witches? Did they... have a thing today? Isn't it Thursdays, didn't you say?
Yeah, they did race today. We don't... Oh, they didn't say race. They did ride today, and we don't talk about it.
Oh, okay.
Heavy defeat.
Huh. All right, well, we don't really have a good sports update. No deaths this week, fortunately. Let's go... We need to go a few weeks without any deaths,
That'd be nice.
Yeah. And, we have a lot of music to talk about, so maybe we'll just, should we dive right in? Is that what you say?
Yeah, this is a record. It's not even been 10 minutes.
Usually, we should be wasting a lot more time.
We did say a whole lot of really funny stuff before we started recording.
Right.
And we could...
Cutting room floor.
Yeah. I don't think that we can recreate that spark we had. We could say a lot of the same words and kind of paraphrase things, but, Will just had me like rolling on the floor with some of his
It was great stuff.
Gags.
If only we had one of those Amazon smart speakers in the room, it would be recording all of our conversations, and we could just go back and then edit it back in.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about possible humans. I think Craig mentioned this to us like a month ago when. There were just a couple of tracks released, right? And you were saying you were intrigued by it.
There was a funny situation because I did a bit of reading. I've actually done a bit of music journalism. And as you say, Will, there were two tracks available, but the album was released, then sold out immediately because they must have pressed about 100 copies or something. And everyone in Melbourne, who knows them, Nicholas probably bought 50 of them and then...
Yeah, probably.
To dish out to his family and friends, and then there would have been 50. So then the record was unreleased, and then they printed more, pressed more, and then it was released again. So those two tracks were available is when I found out about the band, but now the whole album is available. And I must give a shout out to my friend Simon who told me about them. He said he'd been enjoying those couple of tracks, and that's where I found out about the possible humans.
And Nicholas didn't even tell us about them. I mean, he probably had them over for a cookout, and he still didn't even tell us about them.
He wanted to just kind of drop it on his top 10 and have everybody like,
so
what's
he'd appear
this?
Cool. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, too bad. Simon has rumbled.
Yeah, we found them anyway, in spite of Nicholas. Yeah. So this is an album called Everybody Split. And, it's got to be their first album, right? At least the first that we've heard of.
Yeah, I think so. Newish band, seemingly not aging rockers, probably quite young in this case.
Right, right. And so, well, Craig, why don't you go ahead and if you want to give us any more music journalism or just pick a track.
Let's go with a track and then we can always fill in with a bit more information. Well, this is tricky. There is one standout, and I think I have to pick it, even though it's track one. But I would say there are some other absolutely brilliant tracks on here as well. But let's start with this and then we can go on. So this is Lung of the City, track one.
Possible humans.
I think they might be humans. Yeah,
seems probably. Like possibly they would be.
Yeah. Let's call them probable humans.
Yeah. Very likely humans.
Oh, I really like the intro. I'm a big intro person. And then throughout the album, the chord changes are really good. And you've got a sample of that there. And that particular song has the killer chorus, which comes in a few times throughout. We had a couple of samplings there, and then it comes back and back again. Yeah, brilliant.
I was trying to figure out how to describe it, and I can't really think of anything as just good Australian rock, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit jangly, you know, and they have some little synth in there, which is unusual for some jangle stuff that, you know, like when I hear stuff like that, I think, you know, the, say, Athens or, you know, North Carolina around 82.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of a sound.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was a good track. It's off to a good start.
I think it's kind of a little bit lo-fi and a little bit raw, right, maybe, sounding?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't sound like a seasoned band, that's for sure. But, yeah, I like it, too. Barrett, would you like to pick a track?
Sure. I've got a couple here to choose from. I'm going to pick number 4. It's called Absent Swimmer.
Pulling a clean, bang it down.
So, the, you know, the guitars on that one get a little feistier, you know. And before I listened to this, I, you know, one of the things that Craig said in the group chat that we all have is that it sounds like a new band in a good way, and that the songs just all sound kind of different. Like they're not sure, you know, who they want to sound like. And I'm not sure that without having that pointed out to me, it would have jumped out as much as it did. But I, you know, my mind was just like constantly racing, like, okay, this next song, like, who do they sound like here? And I'm not sure who they sound like on that one, but it's definitely not, you know, it does not have that Chapel Hill early 80s sound on that one.
Yeah, they go, they're a little bit darker sometimes, yeah. Right? And they're like, there are one or two that definitely sound like Guided by Voices to some extent. And so here's a note. I'm sure you guys noted that there's a track on this album that's 11 minutes and 46 seconds. It's the second to last one called Born Stoned. And it's, I had it on, like, I think the first time I listened to it, had it on kind of in the background doing some work. And at a certain point, you know, when you have an album on in the background, and then like it just occurs to you and you say to yourself, is this song still going?
Right.
Right. And I'm usually really down on songs that go more than 6 or 7 minutes because they just seem excessive. But this one's pretty good. It's got a good jam going, I think. So I don't think I'm going to play that one, but it's good enough that it almost justifies 11 minutes and 46 seconds.
Right.
So, no, I think the one I'm going to go with is it's one of the faster ones. It's actually number 7 called Stinger. A fun one, right?
Yeah, it's good.
But yeah, just laughing to myself, really. In there, that sounds a bit like the Knack, Sex Pistols, bit of the Adverts, TV Smith, a British punk band. But you wouldn't say this is a punk album necessarily, but I don't know. It's so many influences have poured in. And I think it's what Barrett was saying, I said before, is it a young band with no restrictions, just, I don't know, it's all come together to make a bit of a mixed pot, which is really exciting.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Cool. And I can kind of, I think it's a good, pretty consistent album, just because I, you know, there were a few tracks I could have picked. But I also was thinking, it does sound like a band where you wouldn't be surprised if their next album is better, right? Probably be a little bit better recorded and a little bit more
focused
in probably a good way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, though, that the lack of focus hurts this one, It's just, it's different, you know.
We'll probably complain that it's too focused. Right?
Too focused. Yeah. You know, you wonder why bands, like if I was in a band, it seems like I would want to be more like this, you know, even more so maybe. Like, let's have a kind of a synthy song, and let's do a country song. Let's do a punk song. Let's do a Django pop, you know, just, you know. You're just trying to have fun playing music, really. Yeah. And then if the album can be seen just as a documentation of what you do as a band, you know, it can be pretty varied.
I think your band would be much cooler than any of my bands, Barrett.
not compared to Dolphins in Disguise, though.
Well, no.
That was very focused. I'm not. It sounds like that was a snide comment, and it was not. It really wasn't. I do like that sound. So
it has a sound of its era, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. Possible Humans, friends of Nicholas. They live down the street, we believe.
Let's just go ahead and confirm them as humans.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that a robot or a non-human animal could make that album.
No.
You know, it just seems unlikely.
A million monkeys with instruments from Infinity could make the album.
That is true.
Yeah. Well, infinite monkeys, sorry, not a million. A million probably could, but I don't know.
Well, even like four monkeys in the space of Infinity.
That's true. Yes, that's what I was right the first time. So thanks for saving me there, Baron.
Or an infinite number of monkeys in a nanosecond would be the same.
Boy, now that is getting extremely philosophical.
Well, it is 11:30 p.m. What do you think is going to happen?
Right. Yeah, and Barrett didn't even stumble here from the bar. He walked here from his house.
Yeah.
Completely upright and completely coherent. And
here's a list of my favorite ways I've gotten here. Okay. Number one was cross-country skiing.
Did you do that?
I did do that. It was like 6 years ago. Remember that horrible storm and I skied here?
Okay. That's cool.
Number two, riding a bike.
Yep.
Nothing special about that. I've done that.
Right.
Not very many times.
Yep.
Number three, probably driving.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, getting dropped off. And number five would be what I did today, which is walking.
You ran here.
Oh, I did run here, too.
Yeah.
I'll put that at number three.
Right. So what do you have? Six different methods now?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
But walking just kind of took too long, so that's the only knock against that one.
You've never taken the bus here.
I've never taken the bus.
You could, right? You're not that far from a bus line.
Yeah. I could just hop on the 19.
Yeah.
Drop me off. Or, I don't know. I might need to transfer, which would be kind of weird because it's only... You know, it's only like 2.25 miles away.
How close does the three or the six come to you?
I don't know. I only know the 19 goes down.
All right. The listeners are thrilled with our bus numbering system.
Oh, wow.
Craig would take the train, right? I don't know. It'd be kind of hard to take a train from your house to mine.
It would be.
I mean, there literally isn't one. So.
Right.
The closest train is, there is a train track that has actual trains about a mile from here.
Yeah. Back in the old days, I could have, like, before, say in the 70s, you know, on the bike path when that was a train track.
Yeah.
I could, like, just hop on a boxcar.
Yeah.
Pretty close to my house and then jump off in your backyard.
That would be super cool.
That would be cool.
Did you know there used to be a, right down at the end of this block, there used to be a trolley that connected from, Harrison Street, which is near Fourth Bedroom Studios, to downtown.
Wow.
Yeah. A trolley car.
I've seen a picture of that. The trolley went over the
train tracks.
Yeah. Right. I've seen a picture of that.
Yeah. Those are the good old days.
That's when Will first moved here back in
1942.
I was going to say, yeah.
No, we know somebody who grew up in the neighborhood and she told us all about it. So she
was around then too.
Yeah, well, she grew up in the neighborhood and she's now in her 70s. So
that
would have been literally like 60 or 70 years ago. So, all right, little Fourth Bedroom Studios neighborhood history. Let's talk about Mick Trouble. The guy's name isn't actually Mick Trouble, right? I mean, you could imagine that he's got like a brother named Dave Trouble
right.
and Steve Trouble, but that's not what it is.
No.
It's a project.
Right.
And I think it's a fun project. Maybe we should let's do a little intro before we play music. So this guy, his name is Jed Smith, and that's short for Jedediah Smith. It's a little bit elusive doing music journalism on him. There's not a whole lot out there, but there are limited things that he's done in music. You can find those things. But I was holding out on a trivia item.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you guys caught this, but this is the same guy who played a bunch of instruments on that Janine's album.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Barrett and David were not so thrilled with, and I liked it a lot. But it's like, it's the same guy, and if you go back and listen to that, you'll figure out that instrumentally kind of makes sense.
Oh, wow. We'll have to do that.
Because
I know I did read that he was in a band that you have talked about in the past. What was it?
My Teenage Stride.
That's right.
From the I think they started in 2004, and their most popular album was maybe 2006, 2007.
Mm-hmm.
I did read that he grew up in rural Massachusetts, and at some point, he did what people do. He moved to Brooklyn for indie rock stardom. And I guess he hasn't found stardom, but he's, you know, we're talking about him, so that's cool.
Right.
And there was, so this is called It's the Mick Trouble LP. And there's one called, I think it's called It's the Mick Trouble EP from a couple of years ago.
That one was like shorter.
Right, because that's why it's an EP. But it's extra because it's more than just a single, right?
Yeah, it's an extend. The play is extended.
Right. It extends, yeah. And he did an interview, which I found doing my extensive music journalism, with a site called Vice. And this was in reference to the EP. And so this was in late 2017. And the title of the article is Mick Trouble's EP Wasn't Recorded in London in 1981, but we'd like to check. So,
yeah. Gives you an idea.
And then it goes on to say how much the interviewer thinks it sounds like the television personalities. And then so there's a pretty good quote at the end. So after the interviewer is referencing how much it sounds like the television personalities, the interviewer asks him, what do you think when your music is described by the word mimicry? Do you think it lessens the artistic integrity? And then his answer is, well, of course it's mimicry. If it weren't that word, you'd have to come up with a synonym because that's basically what it is. I guess you could say tribute, but no, I don't think it lessens the artistic integrity. I'm doing my art inside one construct, and it's a stylistic one, and it's a very specific one at that. It's just a framework to me. I'm not sure I think originality in popular music even exists for the most part. In fact, I think it's quite the opposite in a lot of ways. It's a continuum, a universe constantly building on itself and expanding and modifying the vocabulary based on its own precedence. Also, it's fun. So isn't that
I really
a great
like
quote?
That. That's really honest and insightful.
Yeah.
It's good.
So he's like, it's mimicry, but it's his own creative version of mimicry.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, look at like the Jam. They really just sound like mid-60s Who and the Kinks a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have their own sound too. And this does too. This isn't, well, we can play some stuff and talk about what we hear in it.
Yeah.
Who wants to go first?
I will copy Craig's idea because I think this album also, the first track really kind of gets it going and it's worth hearing. So let's play number one, Bloody Blighty.
Bloody, 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 b she got the beans, well then they got the cow. Mom and dad, so gonna be a sad thing, so you're on the dole now, you're on the run.
Yep, Mick Trouble.
Yeah.
So I think what drew me to it first is the bass. I mean, all the songs pretty much have that punchy bass that just goes all over the place, really melodic. And then, but in that song, when that vocal thing comes in, I can't not smile at that.
Yeah, no, it's just great.
Yeah.
You know, this kind of illustrates, so they do sound like television personalities a little bit, and we just talked about them, was it 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I think so.
The way that the Neutrals had a little bit of that sound, and they're both on this. They're both older guys, and they're both on the same label, Emotional Response.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they have a similar influence, they don't sound anything really like each other.
Right.
So yeah, it's kind of interesting.
That is interesting.
But yeah, that was a good song.
Craig, you said when you listened to this, you just had no reference, or you just didn't know what to make of it. So
it just sounds like. What people would listen to on the beach in 1960s England. Uh-huh. I mean, it just sounds, it's got to be. I cannot believe this guy's American.
Yeah.
And I can't believe it's new. It just sounds.
Right. Yeah, right. It's got like kind of a swing in London kind of a thing.
It might have been in that same interview that I quoted from where they asked him how does he record things that sound like it, you know, like it was made in London or whatever. And he said, well, I record everything in my home studio, and I play everything myself. Like, I think he plays every single instrument on it, and he starts with the drums, and then he just starts adding stuff to it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So
I do worry slightly that it's pastiche, and just, I don't know.
For sure.
Is it reasonable to make something that sounds like it was made in 1980s and 1960s London or Manchester if you've never had any touch with those places? I guess it's fine, but it seems a bit weird, like it's mocking it in a way.
Yeah, but he's he clearly is not, like,
he's got affection for it.
Yeah, he's not disrespecting it.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, if he didn't like it and he was mocking it, like, disrespectfully, that'd be one thing, but yeah.
Well, there's like, so bloody is a word which British people use as a moderate swear word, okay, and then blighty is a slang affectionate term used for Britain. I would never refer to it that way, but people do. So bloody blighty, I think it's kind of a weird, I think he's definitely winking if he's not mocking.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, it could be.
Yeah, just the title of the song, being an American, it's, yeah, like,
right, I can see that. Yeah. Well, Barrett, I think you should take the next pick.
All right, I'm gonna pick one called Council Boy.
Babushkas and bully friends. So you
So that one, I don't know about you, Will, but being a Midwestern kid that started listening to music, like, you know, sort of like this or whatever, in the early 80s, there's some phrases and things that you hear from English music that was a little bit mysterious, like, what is that? And one is the council house, right? And the council authority. And you have to kind of like, what are they talking about? You know? And it's just one of these, like, kind of elusive British ideas that this guy, I would venture, probably felt the same way about it when he was listening to, you know, like there's this jam song called Saturday's Kids. Saturday's kids live in council houses, wear V-neck shirts and baggy trousers. I was like, wow, that's cool. What is that?
Right. Yeah.
So yeah. Maybe Craig can, to me right now, explain, it's like public housing, right?
Yeah, owned by housing owned by the government and then rented out to lower income, working class. Well, I mean, this class. I don't like to use a phrase, but anyway.
Well, then of course, Paul Weller had the band, the Style Council.
That's right. Wow. Yeah. Yeah,
there's that word again.
Kind of council,
right?
Yeah, isn't Margaret Thatcher on the cover of this?
She is. Yeah, with some soldiers.
Yeah,
and Margaret Thatcher sold off a lot of council housing when she was prime minister, so they allowed people to buy them, which we have an obsession with owning property in this country, and well, that's reasonable in some ways, but then it takes part of the housing out of circulation for later generations, and so there's a shortage of affordable housing now, and that's one of the causes.
I think it's interesting when we've got an American mimicking a British band and how the perspectives are different from the Americans and the British, right?
Right.
Because it's really like, what if Craig had a, you know, a band from like Brighton and they sounded exactly like 38 Special, right? Even though it was 30 years before, they had a song that sounded a lot like Hold On Loosely or something. We might be like, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
So,
but there are bands from different parts of the, you know, from say the British Isles. Remember the band The Thrills?
They sounded
like, you know, they were from, you know, Hawthorne, California. They were just like a beach kind of a thing. Or even Thin Lizzy. Does that sound like an Irish band to you?
They're
just like the most American sounding band of all time.
Yeah.
You know, and they're
totally
from Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
So, but that I love the word that Craig used, pastiche. It's perfect. And that's what
I wasn't being critical. I really like the musical elements.
Yeah.
The accent annoys me a bit of his singing, but the music's great.
Yeah.
So yeah, pastiche, definitely.
Yeah. But the accent may be annoying, but he's not like, you know, it's not like listening to the guy from The Decemberists, where it's like, what are you doing?
He doesn't acknowledge
that he's doing something that's like,
yeah, what is that anyway?
What is that?
Is that a Portland accent?
No, it's horrible.
But it's not really British either, right?
No, it's like, what is it?
First time
I heard it, I was like, what is this, Robin Hitchcock?
It's like Forrest Gump. You can't tell what that accent is. It doesn't make any sense.
But in this case, I mean, he just sounds like, he's not trying to fool anybody. He's like, yeah, I'm doing this thing.
Yeah.
Or I'm trying to sound like, you know, Reckless Eric or something.
Okay, Craig, did you find a track that you'd like to highlight?
I found a lot. I like the two that you picked anyway. So our cultural acclimatization to life in England is almost complete. Let's have a third pick and then maybe we'll be although that I'm going with. This reminds me of one of my favourite bands from New Zealand, The Clean. It's track 11, Tales of Hank Marvin.
Was not the whole song. You definitely need to download it to get the last 4 seconds of the fade out. And that's pretty important.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm glad you picked that one. That was going to be my next pick if I had one. I love the staccato fast playing on that. And it's, you got to play that accurately or it'll backfire, right?
Mm. Yeah. There's a lot
there are
of
a couple of instrumental
fast
tracks by The Clean which have that. Well, it's just the New Zealand jangle pop, and many other countries have it too. But to me, it just comes out very clearly.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, maybe that one's not really Television Personalities, right? Maybe I don't know. Maybe there's some comparison there.
But yeah, I don't know. I was kind of hoping that one of you guys would pick number. I think it's number two. It sounds a lot like a band that I know you like. We haven't talked about it very much. But do you want to just play a couple seconds of it?
Sure, number two.
Mm-hmm.
End of the Lion.
I take a walk, I take a trip, I take it harder than I like to think. Had it all, it's on my head. I should have tried to let you know instead. Could I have said? But I ain't going anywhere under the
line. All right, so once he started singing, it kind of broke the spell. But did that intro sound exactly like anything else that you can think of?
I'm not going to get that.
You know the song Starry Eyes by The Records?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Records, they were cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a good one, too. That was worthy to play the bonus there. Mick Trouble, and it's called It's the Mick Trouble LP.
Yeah.
Good descriptive title, right?
That is good.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little more straightforward than Possible Humans. There's no ambiguity. This is actually the Mick Trouble LP.
Yeah. Again, it's on Emotional Response and little news on that label. That Neutrals album is being released tomorrow on CD by Rough Trade. That's like a big deal, right?
Seems like it.
Yeah, it's good for them. So
all right.
Maybe they'll come over to London to play a show. That'll be good.
Yeah, so.
Very good. And they'll point to being featured on the Will's Band of the Week podcast is probably, you know, the big break.
Right? I would, yeah. I mean, the guys at Rough Trade, and I'm not saying they're all guys, the people there.
Yep.
Listen to us, and of course, and they don't want to, you know, say that they first heard about something from
from us. No way. A
couple of doofuses in
right.
Madison, Wisconsin. Yep. So they pretend that they heard it on their own. They don't give us any credit.
Right. All right.
Is that a word you guys use in England? A doofus?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay.
Interesting. Yeah, that would
certain
be a word.
Situations where, when it's warranted.
Yeah, that would be a word where I wouldn't know, right? I would not assume that somebody.
No.
Because it's like a. How about dork? Do you use the word dork?
Yeah, that's what my dad used to call me.
Craig, are we?
Oh, it's going to bring back old wounds now.
Push Barman to open old.
Are we doofuses in your estimation?
I'll have to look it up. Give me a second. Dictionary.com.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Someone who plays an inflated price for a tatty house is a doofus. A stupid person.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Scottish. No wonder Will likes that word.
Oh. Okay. Well, Barrett brought it up, but I'm very familiar with the term.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. That's good. I think we're 2 for 2 so far. Now we have to find out whether Craig has another band that he told us about, and we're going to find out. We're at a crossroads whether it's going to go up to 3 for 3, right?
Yeah.
My eyes are starting to burn up, and I'm dying with tiredness, so let's see if I can hold this together.
Okay. All right. It's called the Soul Boy Collective, and you seem like you knew about this band before, and I never heard of them until you mentioned them, Craig.
This is what happened. You can't fail to laugh when you hear the story or when you see them. I think they played at that Indie Tracks Festival, the one which is at the Small Railway, which I've talked about a couple of times. Always happens in July in the Midlands in England. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we saw them, and we're just laughing. You know, this sort of thing, you just have to laugh at this guy. Brilliant German sense of humor. Very dour, melancholy, humorous. And I was reading a bit about the story, and they formed in 1994, and this is now their second album. So I told you they've been pretty
funny.
Prolific.
Yeah.
The first one came out in 2011. That must have been around when we saw them. And then in June this year, a little post cropped up on Facebook, which I'm going to find it now, and said, "After years and years of endless bungling and incompetence, the second album is finished." This is June 20th, 2019. It's called Snob Fatigue, and here we are talking about it on the podcast.
There was another thing that I ran across that I think it was on his Facebook, and it was thanking all the people that helped him, and it said something like, "Thank you for helping me make the greatest pop album of all time," or something like that.
Great, the best album in German pop history.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing, this sense of humor that you really quickly come to understand. Jürgen Doppelmann, sorry for my German pronunciation.
Well, I made a band comparison, but we should play a track and then we can all chime in on that, right?
Yeah, there's several. Oh, I just wanted to say they're from Kornwestheim, which is near Stuttgart in southwest Germany, and they refer to themselves as the sound of young Kornwestheim. This is so funny. they're not so young anymore, but still making good music. So,
yeah, that's great. So, what should we start with?
Oh, well, I put Stars next to this one, which normally means I decided I had to pick it. So, track 7, Can We Start Again?
Save me from a life of fears and maybes, where the odds find you.
the Soul Boy Collective. That's one of three tracks that say that they are featuring Commissar Lex. So I'm guessing Commissar Lex is the female vocalist. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it could be. Lexa Bippus, maybe? She's mentioned here in this list of people who helped. That guitar, the lilting guitar there, just the kind of thing you just punch the air and say, thank you for coming up with something so brilliant. That's just, if he didn't write that, okay, it's similar to many other things, but it's just, you can imagine yourself dancing to that in the indie clubs when I used to do such things.
Barrett does that all the time.
All the time.
Dancing the night away. That was going to be my pick, too. I like the catchy chorus. A lot of the songs are pretty basic melodies, but it's got a cool kind of vibe to it. Mm-hmm. And I'll just say, I called them the German Belle and Sebastian. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I think it's
fair. Pretty accurate.
I should probably make the next pick, because otherwise Barrett's going to steal mine. I think there's a danger.
I'm not going to, and I'll tell you why. It's an interesting story. When Craig first introduced this to us, I had a hard time finding it on Apple Music.
Huh.
And I finally did. Listened to it enough to, kind of get that a little bit. And then I didn't, add it to my phone or whatever. Tried going back later, and it had disappeared. Turns out, if you just type in Soul Boy Collective, you come up with some other stuff, but not this. You have to actually have the word "the" in there.
Wow.
Which I spent the last 3 days unable to find it. I'm like, I guess I just won't be
crazy.
Like,
this is the Soul Boy Collective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other one was just some Soul Boy Collective, not the.
Obviously not as good either.
Yeah. Pale Imitations.
Well, there's another trick. You just do the album title, but Craig probably didn't tell you that it's called Snob Fatigue.
Maybe he did, but
No, I don't think so. Sorry.
It wasn't bothering me enough. I knew that if I really needed to figure this out, I could have had somebody send me a link or something. So I wasn't losing any sleep over it,
But that means then that Craig gets a bonus pick, right?
Yeah, he does.
So he probably won't
you
mind.
You go and then you'll have to do another
Okay,
one.
I'm going to pick... what's funny is some of these song titles, right? Like there's a song called You Should Have Kissed Me While You Had the Chance. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Or We Will Succeed If We Take Matters in Our Own Hands. So I'm gonna play number two. Boy Gets Girl, Boy Loses Girl, Boy Gets Girl Again. Catchy one, right?
Yeah, good one. So I'd like to ask Barrett if he hasn't heard this before because of my failure to mention the. What is his initial impressions?
Sorry, I'm back. I just had to put on my other headphones that I'd taken from home and listen to this thing that I came up with, just Soulblood Collective. I don't think it's the same band.
You figured that out.
Yeah. I was like, I got to do this right now.
Is it actually called Soulblood? I don't see this.
Maybe it's the same thing.
It says, it doesn't look like it's the same thing. Although it says remix.
But it says Soulboy Collective.
Yeah, the 2014 collection.
No.
Yeah, that's very odd. Anyway.
Yeah. How many Soulboy Collectives would there be, though? Right?
A collective of collectives.
Yeah. There could have been like two Soulboys, and then they form a collective, and then they'd be the Soulboy Collective, but like...
Yeah.
I don't know what the other Soulboy Collective is doing, but I think I heard Craig ask what my first impressions were. And I didn't listen to it enough to have a super strong opinion that goes really beyond what Will said about just sounding kind of like a German Bell and Sebastian. I don't know. There's something something else in there that I can't put my finger on. But overall, I like it now that I know how to find it.
It's kind of dancey.
I'll listen to it some more. It's more dancey
and happy and
catchy
and kind of simple hooks.
Right.
Know? Yeah. All right, Craig, back to you for the bonus pick.
Oh, well, how do you know? We've got a track about our friend Morrissey there, but I'm going to skip that. Although I think the lyrics do talk about, oh, I know he's an idiot these days, but let's just remember him when he was good. I think it has to be track 11 with another good song title here. Why does every girl I see still remind me of you?
So don't you think that's a good use of the Be My Baby drum beat when you pause the song?
Yeah, and then, in the middle there.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. Ever since we've done that episode, now I hear it in the middle of songs all the time, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's a good one.
There we go.
All right. Yeah. People should listen to that if they like it. Otherwise, they probably shouldn't if they don't like it.
Yeah, there were some other little bits and pieces, we can't cover everything, but there's some good Peter Hook bass lines in there. A nice synth-led song, I forget, either 8, 9, or 10, one of those ones there. The second half of the album is very strong.
Very good. All right, I'm going to say we're 3 for 3.
Yeah, batting 1,000.
Have we ever not batted 1,000? We're 1,000 for our entire career, aren't we?
Yeah.
Pretty much. Except there was one.
What you're really batting, though, when you're batting 1,000, is just batting 1.
That's true.
Batting 1.000.
Right. Although I think we're like at 996. Because remember that podcast about the Shout Out Loud album?
Gaff, that one?
I don't think it was that one. I think it was one that came later.
Okay.
I don't know. That was when we decided we shouldn't do podcasts about an album that none of us like.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You learn. That's why we're so good now, because we've learned our lessons over the years.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, everybody. We should probably let Craig sleep. It's after midnight.
Do you have to work UK in the morning, time. Craig?
Yeah, it's Friday, and I do have to work. Yeah. It's already Friday here. Come on.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So you could go on the streaming services
and get the new albums.
Get the new albums right now.
Yeah.
Well, what's out today? Should I consult the spreadsheet that I created?
There's that Irish band.
Anyone's looked at it apart from me. Maybe David added a couple of things. I'm not sure.
There's an Irish band called something like Murder Capital. Is that right? Something like that.
Oh, yeah.
That you had on the list. And that sounds kind of intriguing. Yeah, there's a few other things.
Yeah, that's today. Slater-Kinney and Murder Capital is out today.
Right. We're all ready.
And Ride. A new album from Ride.
Oh, the Ride album, yes.
I think we just delete that off there.
Okay, there you go. There's some stuff. Oh, and next week is the, we think, I don't know what we're going to do for it, but it's the 10th anniversary.
Yeah.
10 years effective next week.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I fully expect to be showered with gifts. I mean, the studio is just going to be filled with, like, expensive bottles of whiskey, probably.
Yeah.
What else am I going to get? Probably a lot of people's albums. A lot of vinyl.
Yeah.
Be all over the studio.
Maybe really anything would be fine.
Yeah, if they could send like some guitars and amps.
Guitars and thinking amps. Guitars and amps. I just said snacks.
Yeah,
would
snacks
be fine too.
Well, that'd be good too. Yeah. Yeah.
Anything in between.
Yeah, anything. Yeah. All right. Let's let Craig go. Thanks, Craig, for doing this late. And you got through it. I don't know. It's going to be really hard for people to guess how many pints you had.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not as many as I'm going to have tomorrow night or tonight. Yeah. That's a little clue for the listeners. Right.
Hey, maybe you'll have a live report from that one.
Yeah, maybe.
All right.
Okay.
Let's talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, and Australia. You can subscribe or download the podcast wherever podcasts are available or from our website, willsband.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.